free audio post-production by Alphonic.com.
Hi guys, here we are still at the Copenhagen Dogs Festival, just right after the awards ceremony, and I caught him, Niklas Engström, the program coordinator. Hi Niklas.
Yeah, hi.
It's great to have you here. The awards, how do you feel after these busy days of the festival?
Oh, I feel quite good. It's been an amazing edition, I think, and as artistic director, it's just wonderful to see the work that you and your team have been doing for a year now flowing and being welcomed so heartily by both filmmakers and audiences.
Copenhagen Dogs is one of the most, if not the most important documentary festival in the world. How does the responsibility feel to choose films that will get such a platform? And how much freedom do you have in your selection of the films?
We have total freedom. We are an independent institution. I, together with my programming team, have total artistic freedom, and we use it to select films that are as different as possible. We select around 200 films, half of which approximately are world premieres. Our aim is to show that documentary is an art form that can be extremely varied and different. We are showing with this festival what our aim is with the CBH Docs is to show that what documentary is and what it can be, and that it can be so many different things, so many different formats, so many different subjects. It's been a journey for 23 years now with this festival, since we started out very small, and now we feel the responsibility, because the festival has grown so much, and we feel the responsibility of not just selecting the films but also trying to curate a program where they will shine and where they will be discovered by other festivals, by sales agents and television stations, etc., by audiences not only here in Copenhagen but all over the country. That's why we a few years ago created a program called Docs Denmark, where we screen films not just in Copenhagen, but in 61 municipalities, cities and towns all over Denmark.
You just mentioned that documentary also shapes how reality is seen, or what people perceive as reality, also people's opinions, of course. From your perspective, would you say that there are specific political fields that you've tried to focus on, or are there intense internal discussions on what is shown or which side of the debate is presented? Because I'm very aware of such discussions, for example, at the Berlinale, and it became a huge issue.
Well, for us at CBH Docs, we don't have specific topics that from the mission of the festival that we are focusing on. We believe that there are a lot of different subjects and topics that are important to shine a light on, and we try to do that with our program every year. In recent years, we've started a big new human rights program, not just a human rights award, but a huge program of films and interactive works that shine a light on human rights violations all over the world. And we do that while at the same time not taking sides in any of the political conflicts out there, meaning that we are not saying that we are on one or another side in a specific conflict, but we are trying to use the voice that the festival has to focus the attention of our audiences on all the many, many important things that are going on in reality today. That's what a festival like ours can do. We can platform voices of different kinds that might not otherwise easily be heard. And there it's important that we are not shying away from any subject. It could very well be, because it was in Berlin, the subject of Israel-Palestine.
Totally, that was totally it.
What we do is that we screen films from Palestinian filmmakers, from Israeli filmmakers, from all kinds of other filmmakers about the conflict and from different perspectives. Even controversial figures. This year we have a film by a Danish-Palestinian filmmaker, Omar Shagawi.
Palestinian Unwanted.
Palestinian Unwanted, yes. And Omar Shagawi is quite a controversial figure here in Denmark. And it was actually also controversial for us to show the film. There were different newspapers asking us critical questions about our selection of this film. When we select a film, it doesn't mean that we are now saying, then we support this perspective presented in this film. It means that we believe that this film has a perspective that is important to represent. And then what we do at this festival, maybe more than any other, I think, is that we arrange arrange debates, panels around the films. We have hundreds of panels where filmmakers and other experts, politicians, media representatives, they meet and discuss the subjects that the films raise. And I think that is the responsibility that we have and that we can really carry, that we use our program, our platform, the films, to start up important conversations and also difficult conversations. So for example, with this film, we had Omar Shagavi, one of the first days of the festival, in conversation with one of the editors-in-chief of Danish media here. And they have been really, really critical towards each other. And we sat them down and they talked for an hour and they didn't agree on much. But I believe that having them in the same room is extremely important to show that even when you disagree intensely, that you can actually sit down in the same room and discuss and share different viewpoints.
Another essential aspect that has also been discussed on the festival here is AI and its influence. What measures does the festival have to discern what actually is real in a documentary? If you get a film from a filmmaker, how can you even discern which images are real? Is there possibly, if IA has been used, fake images intermingled with real images? How does a documentary festival in this time and age, when it becomes an important factor, discern fake and reality?
It's a very good question, and it's a very difficult question to answer. I just talked to Winu Patrino, the head of art, and he told me that at Arte, they sit down every few months and then they get 10 videos presented. They don't know whether it's fake or real, and they try to discern that. A year ago, it was easy for them, and now it's impossible. So that is a very relevant question, and it's a conversation that we need to have in the industry. It's also an area where we as a festival can really have an educating role. We have built this festival very much from the beginning, focusing on those porous borders between documentary and fiction. There are sometimes we have really put our audiences in a difficult spot, whether is this real or is it not? And I think we will be able to do that in the future even more. But of course, the difficult question will be whether we ourselves can discern that. I think that there are some hard discussions moving forward, probably also some very hard discussions about how to make new ethical lines to follow. This is something that has, since the beginning of documentary filmmaking, been a question, these ethical questions, and there will be new ones to ask and answer. And
as like many European film festival, I assume that also Copenhagen Docs is a state-sponsored. What I see internationally at other festivals is that the sponsorship and the support that the festivals depend on is cut low and low and low. They're faced with zero. Festivals like Locarno, Berlinale, they're faced with budget cuts, which also affect how many press they can invite, how many artists they can invite. So all these things. Are there similar problems existent at Copenhagen Docs? And if so, how do you handle them?
We are probably an exception at the moment, at least. I mean, we have been in a good spot for years now. I mean, we started the festival with almost no funding 23 years ago. The first year we got 3,000 euro from the municipality of Copenhagen in support. We have been used to making a festival with very small budgets, with much smaller budgets than our ambitions wanted. Then lately, with the enormous growth of the festival in both size and importance, then we are actually at the moment in the history of the festival where the politicians on the national level have finally really found out how important the festival is. So we are in a good spot, but of course, with this new world order where more and more money is going into defense budgets, I don't know how the future will be. But I feel still confident because we have really some amazing projects going forward that I think are worth funding, and whether that's from public money or via the Danish Film Institute or its private foundations, I don't know, but I feel optimistic. Also because, you know, we sell more and more tickets, so that has also considerably changed the budget of the festival.
That is actually a good cue, because the financial situation, of course, also influences the audience, the filmmakers, and the press. What does the festival itself do in each of those areas regarding the audience, regarding the filmmakers, and regarding the press corps to ensure that there's diversity, that there's equal access also for the lower classes and the underclasses, also regarding filmmakers to come here to visit the festival, and also for the press to cover the festival?
That was a big question. We try to be still this open space where a lot of different people can come to the festival. We arrange not only screenings in the center of the city, we do a lot of screenings with local culture houses in the outskirts of the city. And as I mentioned, I think one of the most meaningful developments of the festival in recent years has been this New Docs Denmark initiative, where we bring the festival to all these small towns and cities outside of Copenhagen, in Jutland, in Fyn, and whatever what else the parts of Denmark are called. And I believe this is extremely important because the so-called cultural elite very much lives here in Copenhagen. And one of the most important divides is the divide between the big cities and the outskirts, the countryside. So to bring out the films with social events happening in libraries, in small cinemas, by voluntary staff, different cultural events, that I think has been extremely meaningful. And it's, to me, really heartening to see how so many people are actually coming to these screenings of the big city. And then we also have a digital part of the festival where we're starting today for 2 weeks. We screen a lot of the films online, cheaper in terms of the ticket price. It also makes it possible for people not living near any of the cinemas or maybe not being able to go to the cinema to actually still be part of the festival.
And regarding the artists, how is diversity ensured at the festival?
Running a festival like ours is so much about diversity. When we select these 200 plus films out of the 3,000 films submitted, we really, really try to bring in filmmakers from very many different parts of the world, bringing different perspectives, different film formats. That's also why we have all these different competition sections, one for artist films, one for the more factual, journalistic, activist films. We have the human rights section, we have so on and so forth, and we have science films, we have music films. We have all these different types of approaches to what documentary is. To me, that is super important. And then, of course, with all the films that we premiere, we will bring the filmmakers here. We will pay for their flights, no matter whether they come from Thailand or Argentina or Germany. So in that way, we also try to ensure, of course, that as many different filmmakers as possible come here to Copenhagen.
And in regard of the press?
We are also luckily getting a bigger press budget every year. That also allows for more press to be invited. Quite a few journalists come on their own, but we try to bring more and more journalists, also journalists not only from the trade magazines and the English-speaking magazines, but actually trying to bring people from other parts of the world. Because in the beginning, when we didn't have much of a budget, it was mostly spent on the trades.
In an age where truth is continuously called into question and facts become opinions, how do you see the role of documentary cinema?
Documentary cinema might not have been more important than it is now. And that is despite the very difficult state it is in financially. But I really, really believe that this amazing ability of documentary filmmakers to bring you into lives, the lives and the lived experiences of other people in other cultures, in other parts of the world, or in your own backyard, it is really, really important. And I think in a time where so much is happening, there's so much noise coming out of social media all the time, so much content being produced so quickly, I believe that this quite unique ability of documentary filmmakers to spend a lot of time creating stories about reality, I think that is extremely important and will be even more important in the future. And that's why I really, really hope that we can keep on expanding the possibilities of the genre of documentary in Denmark and internationally in the coming years.
And just to wrap it up, do you have specific plans for the festivals that you wish to realize?
We actually have a very, very exciting plan. I'm so excited about it, but it's still a secret. But it really touches upon one of the audience groups, that audience group that is the most important one in the future, that is the kids. So next year, there will be exciting news coming from Copenhagen.
So we hope we are here to report on them. Thank you so much, Niklas, for this interview.
Yeah, thank you.
Free audio post-production by Alphonic.com.